We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back to Fans of the Pros, hour number two. Mike Austin, happy to have in studio Deuce McAllister, who has been on the road. Boy, just a traveling man this football season with the SEC Network. But he's in studio today. We're going to be taking your calls. I want to get to a couple of them kind of quickly because I can check some of them off the, get, you know, check some of them out of, off the box here. And from Jimmy and Gretna, how early did Taysom's finger get hurt, and can he play through it? It was hurt on the third series of the game. So first quarter, hurts his finger, came out of the game because we were punted, really. And then Trevor Siemian warmed up, and Trevor went did not go in. Taysom stayed in the game. And the future, don't know. I mean, we've had some reports say surgery is needed. Some reports say not. It depends on whether he's going to be the quarterback or whether he's going to be the running back. Just don't know. But so that's the Taysom situation as far as that. One other caller or a texter had asked about Malcolm Perry, the wide receiver who's on the practice squad. What's he look like? Second-year player out of Navy. We really can't watch practice. We can watch them stretch and do a couple of things. And so you really don't. It's more about counting players, about who's out there, who's not out there. So I can't speak much to Malcolm Perry. And Deuce, if you have anything on that, you can. But if, I can't tell you how he looks in practice because we don't really are allowed to watch practice.
That's correct.
So anyway, took care of a couple of them. Coming up at 5:20, we'll let you know we have Tim Brando, who's out west, going to call the California-USC game tonight. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock our time. So he's going to join us. So look forward to talking to Tim. He's about the college football scene has just been wacky the last couple of weeks. But we do want to take care of some of these callers. Let's talk to Terrell. Terrell in Covington. Terrell, you're on the show. Welcome. What do you have for us today?
Hey, Deuce. Hey, Mike. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. Hey, listen. So I heard the guy earlier, you know, he was kind of questioning about a quarterback losing his job to injury. I do remember hearing that years ago. I mean, but you know, that was out the door when Jeff Blake lost his job to Aaron Brooks, and it's never really been the same ever since. But my question or concern or statement is, you know, our quarterback situation, we kind of knew that this was going to be a problem once Drew retired. I think there was a time when there were a few quarterbacks available in the draft that we thought the Saints were going to take, and you know, just to get a little tutelage under Drew and to prepare us for life after him. I mean, I know nowadays you get a quarterback, they come in, they want them to take the job from whoever's starting, but you know, they don't do that Aaron Rodgers deal where they sit under a quarterback like he did with Brett Favre and then eventually get the job and the elder quarterback move on. But I think that is one of the reasons why we are where we are. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that. And I feel the same way about receivers. I mean, we knew we needed wide receiver even when Mike Thomas was healthy last year and the year before. I know we took Traquan not coming out of UCF, but they had a really, really great season. He had a really, really high yard or catch average coming out of college, but I don't think his game translated to the NFL. And even though we knew we needed a receiver in this draft, we took Peyton Turner. And I'm not knocking the kid because I think he did really, really well when he played, but I still feel like it was a reach. And I really thought we was going to take a receiver, a guy who's going to come in and be available. Now, here we are piecing together a receiving core with guys Like, you know, be honest with you, I think we only got one drafted receiver on the team, and that was Kenny Stills. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. We drafted him years ago. I'm not saying the guy's on the downside of his career, but we already know when you watch the game, sometimes you don't even realize he plays. So I don't know if you got any comment to that, and that's all I wanted to say. Do that. Love my team forever.
Traquan Smith. Traquan was a draft pick. Traquan was a third round pick in 2018. Everybody else has been in a free agent acquisitions. Have done a pretty good job. Little Jordan Humphrey did well. Deontay Harris scored from 70. So, you know.
Right, I know that, but I'm just saying though, that's one game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got 17 of them. You know what I'm saying? And there are games where, you know, you didn't know. The other than Deontay, to be honest with you, he's the only consistent guy we have.
Yeah, but here's the problem I have with that when you talk about not drafting receivers. At what point did you know in April that Michael Thomas was not going to be available? You didn't know that. I mean, if you knew that the ankle was going to need a surgery, then that may have changed your plans. When you took Peyton Turner, Peyton Turner's going to get drafted first round. If it wasn't by New Orleans, it was going to be by one of the other two teams or three teams behind you. He was going to be a first-round draft pick. And here's the thing when you talk about Peyton Turner having to take that draft, that defensive end. You're not 100% sure what you're going to do with Davenport in his contract situation. Cam Jordan isn't getting any younger. You're going to have to address that position at some point. How many years did the Saints try to sign a defensive end before they finally were able to draft Davenport? What, 3 years? 4 years? You were trying to get a defensive end? Somebody to be able to help Cam Jordan on the opposite side? So to take a young man at that position, I do not think it was a reach. I do feel like that they should have got a receiver mid-rounds, but not definitely first round, hindsight is 20/20, knowing what we know now and Mike T not being available. Yeah, you should have took one. You probably should have got one in free agency, not necessarily the draft. And then going back, they tried to trade for a receiver. They tried to trade for a receiver just a couple of weeks ago. They weren't able to pull it off. And the other part of it, I forgot the other questions.
That's all right. We got to hit a break.
It was a couple of them, but yeah.
Got to hit a break anyway.
I know Traquan and Kenny Stills.
Well, the two drafts.
Both of those guys are draft picks.
All right, got to step aside. We got Tim Brando on the other side. Switch the gears a little bit. Talk a little college football. We're back after a break here on Fans of the Pros, WLAMFM.com, and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back, Fans and the Pros. A little Boston for you. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister. On a Friday, where we're normally talking about who the Saints will play next, but a Thursday night game, lost to the Dallas Cowboys. We're getting ready to, all right. We have some texts that Deuce wants to get to, but we want to talk to Tim Brando, who is on the West Coast, got a big game tomorrow, USC and Cal, not as big a game as they wanted it to be. Tim Brando, Shreveport native, veteran broadcaster, friend of the show. How are you doing, sir?
Good, Mike. Great to be with both you and Deuce. And it's not a big game, but it's a very interesting game.
Yeah.
I don't think in my four decades of doing sports broadcasting, I've had as interesting a finale. You know, it's Championship Saturday. And I have 2-4-7 teams that are going nowhere. But with all the juice and drama that's following college football and USC and Lincoln Riley in particular, this game has taken on a all new meaning. And Cal, the reason the game is being played is because Cal was hit with COVID in a way about a month ago that no team really experienced this year, but was very similar to what they experienced throughout all of 2020. So Justin Wilcox, who's got a lot of NFL pedigree, as you guys know, is a hell of a coach and has got a great staff, including Peter Sermon, who played for the Titans back when Deuce was playing. I know he's well-equipped with an understanding of Peter and Bill Musgrave, who has ties to the 49ers, as you know, is an offensive coordinator, former Oregon quarterback. I know these guys really well, and their staff is intact, but their philosophies and their approach to the game is certainly not that of USC. So, you know, it'll be really interesting to see. They've got 28 seniors, of whom about 50% of them have options to come back for an additional year. So they're going to have senior night, but not sure, you know, how many of these seniors will actually be out of here. A lot of them will probably come back. So we're on way after all the championship games are over. So if you're a football fan and you're still looking out to get some, you can find it on FS1 at 10 o'clock tomorrow night after all the title games have been played.
Tim, we definitely will send guys to watch you guys and hear you guys. And it's interesting just with a game being played that late and at that time, and it doesn't have bowl implications. And that's probably the other thing. And so I'm interested to hear from just talking to the coaches and some of the players that you guys have had the opportunity to kind of talk to, what's the feel, particularly with USC, with them having a new staff coming in, what's the feel around that program and that team?
It's bizarre. I mean, it's like no other situation anyone's ever been in. They've got a star freshman quarterback in Jackson Dart, who was forced into play when Keaton Slovis got hurt. This kid doesn't know if he's going to hit the transfer portal or not. You know, Lincoln's bringing in his own guys. They've just gotten a five-star flipped at running back that Oklahoma had. Of course, that's obviously caused a lot of ill will from Norman towards Lincoln Riley. But it's the world we live in today, Deuce. I mean, college football has gone, and you can fill in the expletive, okay, bat blank crazy. I mean, it really has. We've got NIL, all right? We've got name, image, and likeness. We've got the transfer portal, and we've got realignment of teams going to other conferences and not sure when they're going to join those conferences. But all of that is fueling everything that you've seen take place. And this is affecting players every bit as much as it is coaches, probably even more so. You know, at USC, everyone's going out. I mean, for the entire staff is going to be gone. Dante Williams, who's been the interim coach, has been really their king of recruiting. He's not sure if he's going to stay, but he's probably of the entire crew the guy that you would think Lincoln Riley would turn to be a part of it because he's from that area and knows the ins and outs of Los Angeles. But there's no guarantees for anybody. But the players themselves and talking with them, can you imagine being in your last game last year, but you also have the opportunity to say, well, if I'm not going to go high on the draft board, maybe I'll come back for another year. But does the coach really want me? Okay, at USC, these guys don't know whether they do or they don't. So it's like an audition. Okay, like tomorrow is an audition, just like an NFL team that's got a bad year, knows they're not going to the playoffs, but they're wondering if they can hold on to their jobs next year through training camp. I would compare it to that.
No, I agree with you 100% when you talk about the audition point, and that's really where I was going to go with my next question is, you know, when you talk about putting film out there for a lot of these guys, particularly those young men that either could be a grad transfer and even with the new rule where every young man gets a transfer one time with no penalty, you know, they can't talk to the players directly, but you and I both know that they can still contact the uncle or the high school coach and try to take a player away from that roster. And so, you know, college football is very, very interesting state, to say the least.
Yeah, just like the coach can say, no, I'm not going to LSU. knowing that the local media won't ask, well, what about USC, which is what happened with Lincoln Riley, right? I mean, the coaches that are in question can always hide behind the fact that they've had no direct contact with anyone, but that's why you hire Trace Armstrong to be your agent, you know, or Jimmy Sexton to be your agent. You've got cover. It's amazing what's going on out there, and I'm not saying it's all bad. I think a lot of people are taking shots, I mean big-time shots, at both LSU and USC for the amazing amounts of dollars that are being spent and perks that are being given to these coaches, Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley. And the two were, by the way, both represented by the same agent, okay, Trace Armstrong. That was the connection. But honestly, in today's free-form situation that we have with all these changes taking place, I think that the athletic directors at these schools, particularly knowing that they've got the financial wherewithal to get whoever they need to get things where they want them, but because of NIL and because of conference realignment, this was the year to get it all done. And it's not the school's fault, fellas. I mean, it's not. Nor is it the head coach's fault that we have an early signing period now. I mean, December 15th is right around the corner. So all these decisions for the players – as well as the coaches, have to be made quickly. And so there's no real way to get out gracefully. You know, if the school is going to fire you, a lot of times they tell you right before the game, which is what happened to Skip Holtz at Louisiana Tech. The man was fired before he walked out the coach's last game. Well, there's not a lot of dignity in that. So it works both ways, okay? You know, I'm not gonna climb a coach for, you know, doing what he feels like he has to do. And as you know, Deuce, meeting with players or trying to say how much I enjoyed it, look, that's going to go over bad no matter how you handle it. But it's the world we live in today. And I mean, there's just no graceful way on either side. If you're going to can the coach, it's going to be probably done in a way that really upsets him. Well, the same is true if the coach leaves the team of his own accord.
So, Tim, you have been already on record and vocal about the current BCS situation, Cincinnati.
CFP, you mean? CFP, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Cincinnati being in the fourth spot, 12-0.
Right.
And so, I guess, what happens if Bama beats Georgia and everything else stays the same? Cincinnati wins, but maybe they don't win great, but they win. But What happens if Bama beats Georgia? That's the issue, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned BCS, and the reason
God, I'm sorry about that, man.
That's okay.
I'm an old dude, man.
No. I understand. The reason I wanted to correct you, though, is to make this point. People that are saying that a two-loss team can't be in the college football playoff must have gotten amnesia, because Les Miles' last national championship in the BCS was with a two-loss team that lost three overtime games twice, including his last game at home against Arkansas. LSU went from number 7 to number 2 in the last week after they won the Southeastern Conference Championship, because Rich Rodriguez's West Virginia team lost to Pitt and a lot of other crazy things happened. You can make big jumps if you're the right program, if you have the right brand name, and LSU did. And they deserve the opportunity to play. I'm not saying they didn't. But to say that Alabama is out if they lose to Georgia with two losses, well, you haven't been keeping up with college football if you really believe that. If Alabama loses on a walk-off field goal to Georgia, let's say it's the game of the year, guys, and I think it could be. I think this could be an incredible game tomorrow. And it could come down to a big play at the end or a field goal at the buzzer, or a win like the one, you know, Tagovailoa got them when they played in the national championship a few years ago, and he came in off the bench to do it. If that game goes like that, don't tell me Alabama is not going to be propped up by a 13-person committee that wants to get the biggest brand in there. And they are poised in the three hole right now to lose that game in a close game and only drop one spot. Cincinnati is from a have-not conference, okay? The goalposts always get moved on them, and the standard for them is that they have to blow out everybody they play, including Houston, which, by the way, only got ranked 2 weeks ago, and right now is 24th. Okay, 24th in front of Texas A&M with four losses. That's 25th. Who just lost to LSU with a third teamers out there. That just tells you that college football is about the postseason is about brand names. So any way they can get Cincinnati out, and here's another way they can jump Cincinnati. Oklahoma State could be a Power Five conference, 12-1 team if they win over Baylor. And I will tell you, I think Oklahoma State is deserving of being in the playoff. They've got a great defense. If Cincinnati wins by, say, only 10 points or two touchdowns against Houston, which Houston's very good, if that happens and Oklahoma State wins and wins big against Baylor, they will jump them from the five hole to four.
But that's the part you hate, though, right?
Drop only a couple of spots.
But Cincinnati at 13-0, not being in the top four, is your issue, correct?
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah. The bigger issue is how exclusionary this is. When we were talking about the BCS, Haas, we were talking this way, Mike. We were saying Boise State had a legitimate shot. And by the way, they did. If they had made a couple of field goals and one against Colin Kaepernick's Nevada team, they would have been in the national championship once at least, maybe twice. But because there were computers involved, we've got a 13-person committee made up of a bunch of administrators from Power Five conference schools that know that they want to keep what they have financially in their own pie. They don't want to share that pie with anyone outside of those Power Five conferences. This thing was put together basically to be a cartel, and there's no other way to say it. It is consortium, if you like, but it's a cartel. And until we expand to 12 and we allow more teams to enter this process, and we've got great teams across the country, around the country, that we could have tremendous interest in if we were trying to get to the top 12 teams. Imagine how big the last few weeks of the season would be if teams were trying to capture the top 12 and have a chance to be in the national championship hunt. We need that. And until we have it, we're going to be seeing this. It's a corrupt system. It's fundamentally flawed. The people that are on this committee are not corrupt, but the process that they are governing is corrupt. Okay, when you say the conversation comes up to Alabama, whoever's from Alabama or from Iowa or from the Big Ten Conference, it doesn't matter if that particular person on the committee has to recuse himself and walk out because it's his school, then I get that. But if you're someone from that conference, you don't have to recuse yourself. How do you think those people are going to be voting when they represent schools from different conferences within the Power Five? They're going to vote for those teams. No questions, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the only other people that are on the committee are a bunch of retreaded coaches who have a way of looking out and saying, gosh, those guys look really good in the warmups. And, you know, I'm sorry, Alabama only lost by three, but you going to tell me that team's not better than Cincinnati? No, I think I'm going to go with Alabama. I mean, there's no computer. There's no way to diffuse that kind of conversation. It's all subjective. So it is fundamentally flawed and a process that is corrupt.
Well, I 100% agree. I can't wait to get to 12. I know it's coming. It's just a question of when. I do have a message.
I'll tell you what it's going to happen, Mike. Yeah. It's going to happen when the new TV contracts
are right.
Here's the dirty little secret. No one wants to tell you, but this is the dirty little secret. When the SEC went out and got Oklahoma and Texas, poached them out of this, out of the Big 12, The quartet of commissioners that were a part of the planning committee to go to 12 included Bob Bowlesby of the Big 12 and the SEC's Greg Sankey. Sankey cut those deals with those two schools while he was in the midst of going through meetings with Bowlesby, okay, his counterpart, never said a word about it. Well, once that happened, other commissioners of the league, other leagues said, you know what, the SEC wants to go to 12 so they can get more of their teams in. You know what? We're going to make sure that doesn't happen. We're going to wait until our TV contracts are up, and then we'll go to 12. That's what this is all about. They can talk about format, and they can talk about, we're not sure if we want to have home fields for the first round. No. This is all about making sure that realignment is done before we go to 12. And I think we'll get there, but it's going to be by the end of this current TV contract, which has four more years left on it.
Oof. Tim Brando, tomorrow night with Spencer Tillman, USC Cal FS1, 10 o'clock. Should be an interesting game because there'll be a lot of Lincoln Riley stuff. I do have one other message to pass along before we say goodbye. Scott Alexander says he is at the airport and in San Francisco, and he's on his way. He'll be there soon.
Keep it straight, Timmy. Thank you so much as well.
Right. And a 5 a.m. flight for him. Whoever was thinking that was a good idea. I'm not sure.
Hey, thanks for putting up with his wacky schedule on my account this year. And, Mike, I'm so happy for you getting to do the Saints. And, Deuce, I know you've been doing some TV in the SEC as well. And I've been loving keeping up with both of you. Keep up the great work.
All right, Tim. Good luck tomorrow night. Hope to talk to you soon.
All the best, fellas.
Thank you.
Tim Brando, Shreveport native. And, man, he's been around since I was a sports anchor in this town. And he's just a super, super nice guy. Just one of those guys to meet. Got to take a break. Got some callers on hold. And Deuce needs to answer a text that came back a little while ago. We'll take a break here on Fans and the Pros. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, both in studio, talking post-football Saints and also getting you ready. Pelicans play tonight. They're in Dallas. Dallas was just here. We'll talk a little Pelicans. At 6 o'clock also at 6:30. JMU fans and SLU fans, get ready. It's James Madison and Southeastern. We'll talk to Frank Selfo about the second round of the FCS playoffs. Look forward to that. So, Deuce, we had a caller earlier that we didn't get to yet. He had several questions. We didn't get to all of them.
Yeah, now I've got to go back and find the question. But it was basically, did the Saints –
I got it. If you don't have it,
yeah,
you missed the most important part of the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
The first part of the question was asking whether the Saints had a sufficient succession plan for Drew Brees.
Here's the problem with that. There is no written date that you knew that Drew Brees was going to officially retire. When you drafted, Garrett Grayson, the quarterback?
Yeah.
You drafted Garrett Grayson to be groomed as a possible replacement for Drew Brees. Guess what? That didn't work. Not only could he not handle it, he wasn't equipped to really succeed in the NFL. And that was, if I remember correctly, I think that was a third round pick.
I'm looking.
Yeah, well, I feel pretty confident.
Third round. Yeah, 2015, third round, 75th pick overall. That's
So do you not think that is a plan for the succession of Drew Brees? When the New Orleans Saints signed Teddy Bridgewater, was that just, hey, look, we like Teddy. We just want you to be around? No, that was in the process to say, hey, look, Teddy, you could be the long-term heir of Drew Brees and the quarterback position. When the New Orleans Saints picked up Taysom Hill off of waivers from the Green Bay Packers, that was a plan to say Taysom Hill, you could potentially be the heir to the throne of Drew Brees being the quarterback. When the New Orleans Saints picked up Jameis Winston, it was saying that Jameis Winston, you could potentially be the quarterback that succeeds Drew Brees. So it's not necessarily all about drafting quarterbacks in the draft. There's two different ways, really, more than that. But when you talk about building a team, there's different ways and formats that you can build a team. And some people may have figured you should have drafted Lamar Jackson when he was on the board. You should have moved up to draft Patrick Mahomes when he was on the board. 2020 is always, you know.
Yeah, hindsight, baby.
Hindsight. So I think the Saints tried to address it as best as possible, but there was no expiration date for Drew Brees to say, all right, 2 years, I'm done. That wasn't the case.
All right. Let's go to Lauren in Chalmette, who's been holding. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. You too.
And listen, Deuce, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. But real quick, let me say this to Mike. Mike, I used to watch you when you was on Fourth Down the Four years ago. And, man, I grew to love and respect you as a sports cast and everything.
Well, that's very kind.
So, congratulations on the job, and I hope it's continued success. Now, look, real quick, I think the Rules Committee this year, well, you know, after the season, when they all get together in Miami or wherever they go, I think they need to address the challenge. And how many challenges do each coach have? One per half?
No, one per game, and if you're successful, then you get another one.
Okay, one per game. I think they should allow the team to use the challenge on anything, as frivolous as it might be. If they lose, then you lose it. You know? I mean, because if they could have challenged that blindside. You know? I mean,
here's what I want them to do, and we've been an advocate for this. I want them to go to a sky referee up in the booth, basically where all of their challenges are or whatever. It's about three booths down from us. Every stadium has it. Put a NFL referee up in the booth where he can look down. He's not calling the game play-by-play, but he can buzz down to the official once a flag is thrown, not to be able to create a penalty when he sees it, but a flag has to be thrown, and then he can interject to be able to say, hey, look, guys, I think you got this play right. So he doesn't have the ability to call holding every play because he may have saw it play. The officials on the field have to be able to say, hey, look, I saw that, instead of having to go to replay and look at, confer with New York, have a ref up top. Have every stadium have a ref up top where he can buzz down directly and talk to that official.
Deuce, that's a great idea. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, let the coaches challenge anything. I don't care if it's a holding call. If you lose it, you lose it. And you don't have no more challenges for the rest of the game. But, I mean, like last night, had he been able to challenge that, and just like, I mean, you know, it would have been great. And then that interception, there was another interception. There was a pass that was thrown down to the ground, and Dallas hurried up.
That wasn't an interception. That was CeeDee Lamb with a catch.
Yeah, that was a regular pass. That's what I'm saying. It looked like he didn't have really a good control of the ball. It kind of hit the ground and everything. And I was waiting for Sean Payton to throw the red flag.
And when you only got one, they're very protective.
Well, another part of it is Sean never got to see the play. By the time he saw the play, they had already snapped the football. And that's exactly why Dallas ran up to the line to snap the football. And so that's where your video board has to be showing that immediately.
If I'm a head coach and I see something, you know, real quick like that, and the other team rushes up to snap the ball, that's a red flag for me.
That's right.
Hey, hold on. I'm taking a timeout. I'm going to burn a timeout. Even though you didn't have any, it was towards the end of the game. You had a couple of timeouts left. Man, hell with the timeouts, you know? I mean, you know, it was worth the shot, I think.
Well, Lauren, we appreciate the call. Also, I appreciate the kind comments. You have a great holiday season as well. We are getting close to 6 o'clock. Got to step aside here on getting you ready for a big sports weekend. Mike Hoss and Deuce McAllister. We are back after a break here on WL Fans into Pros. Welcome back, Fans into Pros. Mike Hoss and Deuce McAllister. We've been talking about the challenge situation. So it's two, right? Two per game. And if you get both right, you get another one back. Like but you have to get both of them right. If I'm correct, that's the way I see it. Thus far in 2021, the Saints are 0-2 on challenges. As Deuce and I were just talking, I didn't realize in 06, the Saints had 12 challenges, 11 in 07, 15 in 08, 11 in 09. You hear the music. The news is coming up. Got to take a quick break. Fans and the Pros, Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister. Lots more coming in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little SLU and JMU as well as the Pelicans. Keep it right here on WBL AM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.